So we started looking at something that I called Because of You, a two-part series that we started on Friday. If you are here on Friday, just give us a shout. It was a different kind of service that we had, but it was quite reflective and quite touching for us. So I'm going to carry on kind of like where I left off, but looking at another perspective. So the question I have for us today is, which is the first one, what is resurrection? What does it mean when someone resurrects? When we say it's Resurrection Sunday, or we make reference to that. So I got a dictionary meaning here of what resurrection means. It says, this is from Google, so if you want to sue me for copyright, it's not my definition, it's Google's. It says, resurrection is the action or fact of restoring a dead person to life or of being restored to life. I'll say that again. Resurrection is the action or the fact of restoring a dead person to life or of being restored to life. So it talks about restoration. Restoring something that was dead or something that was kind of like really out of place. Restoring it back to life. So last Friday we made 3 points looking at the thief on the cross. And one thing that I said was that, first of all, God sees you as an individual. You're not just a random person walking on the earth who God has nothing to do with. He sees you. I also mentioned last on Friday that God chose to give his life to go on the cross for you and I. He wasn't coerced to do it. It was a choice that he made for us so that we could be saved. The last point I made on Friday was that for everything that Jesus did for us, we didn't deserve it. And we don't deserve it either today. So that's what we spoke about on Friday. So today I'm going to carry on with this Because of You series thing. But I'm going to read a few stories in the Bible, well, a large portion of scripture. Then I'll make a number of points this morning as well. So we're looking at the life of a man called Peter in the Bible. Now, Peter was one of the disciples of Jesus, very close to Jesus. He was really out there. I mean, if anybody mentioned, oh, do you know Jesus? The next thing would be like, oh, you must know Peter as well. Peter was like very, very present with Jesus. He went everywhere with Jesus. In fact, he even told Jesus once that, look, I'm ready to die with you. If anybody comes to harm you in any shape or form, I'm going to be here. So he was really close to Jesus. So that's the background of this man. But I want us to read a number of things with regards to this gentleman, Peter, in the Bible, and reflect on our own lives as well in the context of resurrection and in the context of our relationship with Jesus Christ. Okay, it's a bit of a long read. The first bit that I'm going to be reading is in the book of Luke, chapter 22, verses 54 to 62. Luke, chapter 22, verses 54 to 62. This story that I'm reading depicts the denial of Jesus by Peter. So I'll read it. Luke 22, 54 to 62. It says, then they seized him and led him away, bringing him into the high priest's house. And Peter was following at a distance. When they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat down among them. Then a servant girl, seeing him as he sat in the light and looking at him closely, said, this man was also with him. But he denied it. Peter denied it, saying, woman, I do not know him. A little later as well, someone else saw Peter and said, you are one of them. But Peter said, man, I am not. And after an interval of about an hour, still another insisted, saying, certainly this man also was with him. He is a Galilean. But Peter said, man, I do not know this man. I don't know what you're talking about. And immediately while he was speaking, a rooster crowed, and the Lord turned and looked at Peter, and Peter remembered the saying of the Lord, how he had said to him, before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times. And he went out and wept. So we see in this portion of scripture, something quite interesting happening. So Jesus was captured and taken away to be crucified. But that's not even the point I want to make here. Before this time, Peter had told Jesus, he said, look, Jesus, anything happens to you, I'm going down with you. I'm even ready to die with you. I'm with you till the end. That was what Peter had told Jesus. Now, the rubber now hit the road. And Jesus was praying in the garden. It was time for him to be captured. These soldiers surrounded them and they said, we're here for Jesus. All of you, we don't have anything to do with you. We won't cause you any harm. Just give us Jesus. And you'll have thought that Peter, who had said so much about being there for Jesus, will have said, I'm here. He tried to do that at first. But when he saw what was happening, Peter and the other disciples ran away and they left Jesus on his own. They ran away and they left Jesus on his own. I think there was an example I gave about this a while ago, talking about how Peter and his mates just left Jesus in his dying hour of need. And the example I gave was this, and this is just fictional, by the way. As we're sat down here now, imagine if, it's fictional, so don't panic. Imagine if 5 masked men in black just barged in through the door, 2 from there, 3 from there with AK-47 machine guns, and they're like, they just shoot into the air. Grrr, don't worry, we don't want any trouble with any of you. All we want is Pastor Benson. That guy, we've been watching him, and we don't like what he's saying. Today, he goes out. What would you guys do? I know quite a few of you are not a member, you're not members of this church. But what I said was this. I know the people in this church. Do you know what they will do? Let me tell you if you don't know. They will just rush to the front and just form a barricade around me and say, no, you can't take our pastor. Take us first. Am I basing my assumption on the false premise? I heard some giggles and some laughing from the people in this church. I'm sure that laughter is saying, yes, I've got you, pastor. Or is that laughter saying something else? Is that laughter saying, pastor, we love you, but for this one, we'll see you next week. So, Jesus was left alone by the people who were closest to him. But the more interesting thing is this. Jesus was deserted by one of the closest people to him. He was deserted by someone who said, I'm going to be with you till the end. Nothing anybody comes to do to you will affect you. I am here. I'm even ready to die for you. But he abandoned Jesus at that last hour of need. I'm going somewhere with this story, so just hang in there with me. Then, do you know what happens as Jesus is captured? He's chained. They're dragging him to the court, a kangaroo court. It wasn't like a proper court. They just said, let's just do something quickly. They dragged him to this place, this made-up court, and they were questioning him. He was chained, and he was at night. Peter, who had said he would never deny Jesus, who was going to stick with Jesus till the end, was following Jesus at a distance. Following him at a distance. So as Jesus was there, being questioned, being harassed, being someone saw Peter by the gate. And he said, oh, hang on, Peter, You go to that church on Fish Ponds Road, you are, I've seen you there. You go to that church, you know that Pastor Benson guy, and Peter is like, what? Pastor Benson? I've never even heard of him. What are you talking about? Who's Pastor Benson? And they leave him alone. Someone else comes and says, surely I've seen you at that church. You are close to Pastor Benson. In fact, I saw your picture on Instagram and you were doing a selfie with him. That picture, no, that wasn't me. And he denied Jesus 3 times. And the Bible says something here. As Jesus was sat in this kangaroo court, harassed, beaten, abused, all these things, Peter was having that conversation with the people who were around. That's great. Sit there. No. Oh, no. You know, I'm going to drop this mic. Can you please sit there? No. I'm not going to carry on till you sit there. Seriously. No. I won't carry on. Please. And you know what? Once I'll speak for about 10 more minutes, then she can come and take the mic. And just give us a few lines. Yeah, what's her name? Izuchukwu. Izuchukwu. Okay. So everybody notes, 10 minutes, just say, Pastor, it's Izuchukwu's turn to preach. God bless you, sir. So Jesus was in dire pain, harassed, being questioned up and down. They were making false accusations about him. And Peter was just there looking. They come to Peter and they say, you were with Jesus, and he denies ever knowing Jesus 3 times. And after the 3rd time, something interesting happens. The Bible tells us in Luke chapter 22, in the pain that Jesus was going through, in the harassment that he was going through, Jesus turned and his eyes caught the eyes of Peter. I wonder how that would have felt for Peter. Their eyes met. Peter now said in his mind, my goodness, what have I done? I have denied, amen, I have denied Jesus. And he went out and he wept bitterly, the Bible tells us. That's not the point I'm making this morning, though. I'll read another portion of scripture, John chapter 22, verses 2 to 4. John chapter 21, verses 2 to 4. So after this incident happened, Jesus was crucified. He's just said, look, this is what I'm going to do. John chapter 21, verses 2 to 4. Simon Peter, Thomas known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and 2 other disciples were together. I'm going out to fish, Simon Peter told them. And they said, we'll go with you. So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. So Peter had just had this really distressing time with Jesus. He denied Jesus, and he just felt, you know what, there's no point really carrying on. I'll just go back to life as normal. All that church business, going to church on Sunday, doing all that prayer thing, it's just not going to be my thing. Peter left everything that he would have been doing normally, and he went about his normal business. He just went back to normal life, what he used to do before, and put aside everything that had to do with the ministry. So why did Peter do that? Why did Peter not carry on spreading the message of Jesus? Why did Peter stop coming to church? Why did Peter, when they sent him a text, oh, Peter, we haven't seen you in a while, just said, I'll block this church people. I've had enough of all these people contacting me. He didn't want to have anything further to do with the whole church, Jesus, God thing. He said, look, I'm just going to carry on with my life and see how things pan out. So that was what Peter did in John chapter 22, verses 2 to 4. Now, the last portion of scripture that I'm going to read here is quite a lengthy one, so I'm just going to take little bits and pieces of it. And this is John chapter 21, verses 4 to 25. John chapter 21, verses 4 to 5. So we've looked at three things. We looked at the fact that Peter said, look, I'm not going to... Peter was really close to Jesus. He was passionate about his faith. The second thing we saw was that he disappointed Jesus and he just was like, man, this is just not it. I'll just carry on with my life as usual. Then we go to the third part, John chapter 22, verses 4 to 25. At this point, Jesus had been crucified on the cross, but he had resurrected from the dead. He had risen from the dead as he said he would. And we come to John chapter 21, verses 4 to 25. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, friends, haven't you any fish? No, they answered, and he said, throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. And they did, and they were able to haul in a large number of fish. Now, the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it's the Lord. As soon as Simon heard this, it is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish. Now, I'm just going to jump to verse 15. When they had finished eating, Jesus turned to Simon Peter. Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. So, following the story, Peter had denied Jesus. He was like, I'm just going to go back to my normal life. All this church thing, just count me out of it. Jesus is now resurrected. But Jesus does something quite interesting. He seeks out Peter. He didn't just resurrect and come to Peter and say, you know what? I've always known it, Peter, that you are going to deny me. You were just, you know, all these things you are saying, what kind of friend are you? And so on and so forth. You know, Jesus didn't say that to him. Jesus didn't. Jesus didn't even mention that incident at all. So Jesus went and he found Peter. And he began to ask Peter a question. He said, look, do you love me? And Peter said, yes, I do. Feed my lamb. So what am I saying here? I'm saying that, look, for Peter, he experienced the resurrection of Jesus in his own individual life. And for Peter, his own resurrection was the fact that, look, he felt that, look, I've disappointed Jesus so much, nothing good can come out of my life. Let me just coast and get on. But Jesus went to look for him specifically to restore him to the place that he was. So what is this saying to you and I? The first thing is this, Isaiah chapter 43. That's the evangelist, by the way. We have quite a few of those guys. Yeah, that's the evangelist. You see, all you adult folks, I'm just waiting for all these young folks to grow up. You know, they'll be in the choir. They'll be the ones preaching. Because we've been begging you guys, come and do this. Come. I won't even talk to you anymore. I'll just, hey, they'll be like, you know, We're excited about our kids in this church. So what is this saying to you and I from a resurrection perspective? 3 points I want to make this morning. The first thing is Isaiah chapter 43, verses 18 to 19. Isaiah chapter 43, verses 18 to 19, I'll read. It says, "Forget the former things and do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland." So the first of the 3 points that I'm going to be making, or that I'm making this morning, is this. I believe God is speaking something to us this morning to say, look, everything that you've done in your past, everything that you think should be limiting you, everything that you're ashamed of — Peter was really ashamed — everything that you're ashamed of, everything that you think, oh my goodness, this is just too much. I mean, if it was this, I could have, you know, stomached it. But this one, I mean, this is the end. The Bible tells us, Jesus tells us, leave those things behind. It says, forget the former things. Forget the former things. Peter had to forget, or should I say, move past what he did to Jesus. He had to move past it. It was so embarrassing. But he couldn't move forward or be anything in the context of what Jesus planned for him till he forgave himself and moved forward from those things in the past that had happened to him, that he had done. So the first thing is this, and I don't want to sound like a motivational preacher that says, you know what? Sorry, if you're new to this church, there's this thing I do. You're just going to have to pardon me a bit, particularly if you're from America. I will sometimes mimic our friends from America. So I'm just going to do that in a minute. So I'm just giving you a warning in advance to say, please, no offense meant. Okay. So like I said, I don't want to sound like a motivational preacher to say, church, you know God's going to do it for you in your life. Say amen. These people are too British for me. I think I need to go and import some people from Texas. Let's go over it again. Oh, God's going to touch you. Say amen. Can I get a hallelujah in there? Hallelujah. Can I get a... I think my voice is a bit croaky. So I don't want to sound like a motivational preacher this morning, but the truth of the matter is this. God wants you to move forward and forgive yourself as part of this resurrection. The same way he restored Peter back to the relationship that he had with him. God wants us to move forward. He wants you to forgive yourself. That's the first point. The second thing is this. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 to 9. I'll read Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 to 9. It says, "For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. It is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no man can boast." So the second thing I want to mention this morning out of the three is this. The gift that Jesus gives us, the gift of salvation that he has given us, the gift of just being able to walk in his plan for us, is a gift. Is a gift. It has nothing to do with who you are. It has nothing to do with how good you are, or how, is it, should I say ungood? Is that such a word? How bad you think you are. It has nothing to do with that. Why? Because it's a gift. So Peter probably thought, oh man, this thing is, I've just disappointed Jesus so much. Let me just give it up. Do something just on the sidelines. And I suspect that he might have done that because he thought, this relationship that I have with Jesus is something that is based on my good works. Now, am I saying we shouldn't support our friends and be there for one another? Definitely we should be. We should do that. But Peter had to realize that when it comes to Jesus, when it comes to resurrection, when it comes to life in terms of salvation, in terms of the gift of God, in terms of the plans of God for your life, it's a gift. It is a gift. It has nothing to do with you. So that was something that Peter had to realize as well, that it's a gift. It's not nothing to do with you, per se. It's a gift. And the third point is this. John chapter 3, verses 15 to 17. John chapter 3, verses 15 to 17. Jesus says something here. It says that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. It says 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that he might through, that the world through him might be saved. So the third and final point that I'm making this morning is that Jesus came for you. For you as an individual. Yes, Jesus came for the world. But Jesus came for you as an individual. And the Bible tells us here that Jesus did not come to condemn you. We read in John chapter 3 here. But he came that you and I could have life and have it more abundantly. Why is this important to note? You know, I met someone, this was about 2 or so years ago, and we're talking. And I was telling them about God. And this individual told me, they said, look, Pastor Benson, just forget it. Let me go and clean my life up first. Then maybe I'll consider this Jesus that you're talking about. And I told the person, you know what? You're putting the cart before the horse. Is it the horse before the cat? You know what I mean? Jesus isn't asking you to clean yourself up. Jesus isn't asking you to... He's just saying, look, this is the gift of life that I'm giving you. Accept it. Accept it. So, as we reflect on Easter this day, I'm just going to leave us with these 3 points that I made. Now, look, move forward. God wants you to move forward. He wants you to move forward. And the second thing is that the gift of resurrection, the gift of life that God gives us is a gift. It has nothing to do with you. And the third and final point that I made is this. Jesus did all this because of you as an individual. Amen.